It is our honor and my privilege to introduce to you Brother Jamie Jackson, evangelist. Brother Jackson is maybe the leading, and I don't mean this in a derogatory way in any way, probably the leading black evangelist in America. I mean that. Too many folks in that realm change doctrine. Brother Jackson, from the time he was a teenage young man, I remember when he was called to preach. Remember when he went to college, and he has stayed true to the book right there. He hadn't changed. He sometimes preaches in pretty tough areas, and he'll call me and say, "Brother Bush, I'll say, what you need?" And he's fighting the battle. He said, "They're changing out here, but I'm not changing with them." He said, and he lets them have it, both barrels. He's my kind of man, amen? And here's a man's man. Here's a man that very capable athletically. He can bend you in half without even flinching. He's strong as a moose and bigger than one. But I have enjoyed watching him through the last couple decades. And I'm excited that there's younger men, and though he's not super duper young, he's younger than me, therefore he's younger, amen? But I've enjoyed watching him, I've enjoyed hearing him. He has a very unique balance. Here's a man that rubs shoulders with high-level people on a regular basis. You don't understand his influence like I do, and God's using him to reach people all around our country. He preaches a lot of camps and stuff out west. He preaches with the cowboys. They don't find horses big enough for him. He can sit on the back of a horse and drag his feet, amen? But he gets on, they go, uh-oh. But I love this young man. He's a powerful soul winner. He's a man that walks with God, and he's a principled man. And I will say this. Here's a man that if he's your friend, he's your friend. And I sure do love him. Brother Jackson, you come preach to us today.
Yeah. All right. I appreciate it. Please be seated. Boy, what a joy and an honor it is to be here to serve God with you. Boy, can I tell you this? Our nation is hurting.
Yes, sir.
But can I also tell you in the same breath, not only is it hurting, but this is not the only time in America's history where it's been times like this.
That's right.
But every single time, the church has remained faithful.
Yes.
And because of that, we've had great moments in American history like the Great Awakening. I believe that God is not done here.
Amen.
I believe that God still wants to use us. I believe that God still wants to do something great. You say, why? If he didn't, we'd already be in heaven.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We'd already be with him.
Yes, sir.
But there's still work to do.
Yes, sir.
But oftentimes, just like what we're going to see here, it's not God who makes the difference. All I'm talking about, God is going to be the same as he's always been.
Yes.
But God just doesn't make it happen. He relies on us.
That's right.
Servants of him. So it's not God that's changed. It's us.
Yes, sir.
Let me ask you this. Are you willing to do anything for God?
Right.
Or shall I ask you this? What wouldn't you be willing to sacrifice for him? Oftentimes we say, we'll do anything except hurt our kids. Well, that's the main thing that changes adults. You say, can you explain that? Oftentimes when I meet with pastors and I talk to them, it seems like when God has blessed them, the family with a young one, boy, they're excited. Boy, they're thrilled. Boy, mom and dad are excited to serve God. And boy, they grow up, it seems like, serving God. Then all of a sudden, those teen years hit. And boy, those teen years hit, and that teen boy surrendered to God and decides that, boy, he wants to be a missionary. Maybe it's a missionary to the deepest, darkest, you know, points of Africa. And boy, that parent had different dreams, whatever, than God had. Boy, that parent was willing to give them to God as long as they didn't do X, Y, and Z. And now that they did X, Y, and Z, that parent now has to choose to either be sold out to God, to either be surrendered, or sadly, that parent will pull their family out of church because they don't want their child to do that. They'd rather their child be a lawyer or do something else that, you know, Christians can do that, but there's nothing like being in God's will, doing what God wants. And boy, at this time, if you don't mind, just like you would want to be found faithful to your boss, I want to be found faithful to mine. So if you will join me in 1 Kings chapter 18, just like what we read before, it says, Elisha came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? Boy, that can be compared to American today.
Amen.
America today. How long are we going to be between two opinions? If God be God, then serve him, just like our forefathers before. By the way, it wasn't given to them. Boy, they had to fight for it. Not just our freedom to be free, but our freedom for religion.
Yes.
Our freedom to serve and to worship God the way that we're doing it today. Every generation has to fight. Every generation has to prove oneself. Oh, it is said, I had the privilege of going to an institution, I guess you could say, and there's reasons why I have to be very careful here, but I had an opportunity to go and preach a revival in the place that was hosting the revival. The one particular man, he was very high up in politics, and he had run multiple different campaigns and done different things. And I asked him, I said, I know from a spiritual standpoint, boy, if there's hope in America, but since you have a good pulse on the politician's thing, is there hope from a politician's standpoint? He said, no. Because of this. He said, a politician, there's never been a time where a politician has saved America.
That's right.
But there has been a time where the politician has been afraid of the church.
Amen.
Say something against the church or against the church people or what the church believes, and they come up as a mighty roaring lion.
Amen.
Making sure that someone who thinks like you doesn't go into office. He said, but today, that's not the case. He said, today they have poisoned us to the point where if the man of God mentions anything about politics, people are like, well, you shouldn't be, that's not your job to say anything or whatever there. He said, but little do they know that the Constitution and the forefathers didn't think that way.
That's
their
right.
Job is they didn't want the politicians to come into the church house to tell the church house. But the
yes.
church house has no authority other than God, so the
yes.
church and the man of God can say whatever they want.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
That is called freedom.
Amen.
Yes, it is.
But today, how hot we between two opinions? We see Elijah here, God's man. By the way, he wasn't God's man because he self-proclaimed himself to be God's man, or because he had a radio station, or because he had a podcast, or because he had any of these things short. He walked with God, and therefore people saw God in him, and that's why they called him a man of God.
Amen.
Boy, that's why we see here when Elijah gives this challenge, boy, the people were quiet. Why? Because they knew he walked with God, he talked with God, and he knew if he came in the authority of our mighty God, boy, you better listen.
Yes, sir.
Boy, you better not say anything. And of course, we see here that Elijah gives a challenge where we all read in verse 24 where it said that it was well spoken. And of course, like Elijah being like anybody else, boy, Elijah, by the way, he was against the odds. It was 450 against one. That can be compared to some of our lives. Seems like our burdens are heavy. Seems like our trials, if we're not careful, it can overwhelm us. It seems like the world and everybody in the world, they don't agree the way we agree. You say, name one thing. I don't believe that this world is billions and billions and billions of years old.
Amen.
I do believe in the Big Bang. You say, Brother Jackson, we don't believe in the Big Bang. Yes, we do. We believe God said it, and bang, it
Amen.
Happened.
Amen.
Yeah. That's right.
Yes.
You say, Brother Jackson, I've never once been in a place where I've heard them say a billion years old, but I was. I was in Gallatin Gateway, Montana. It was called the I guess the Gallatin Gateway Waterway. And boy, we were there, and boy, we started out. And Pastor, this is the only time I rejoice in wearing a mask, but here I am do a confrontational event that we had getting on there. They asked me to wear a mask, and here I am wearing a mask, and boy, we're beginning this boat tour. And he said, ladies and gentlemen, look over there. You see that big rock? It's kind of red. He's like, that rock has just been dated 1.4 billion years old. I was like, yeah, right. He looked around.
Amen.
He was looking at everybody, and I was just smiling. I love masks. This is awesome. Boy, can I tell you this? If it doesn't line up to the Bible,
that's right,
we have a decision to make.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Boy, I wouldn't dare say. I know you're like, are you against masks? Are you against these things? Absolutely not. Well, I believe, boy, God gives us all intuition. Some people have different things, different problems, different situations and stuff that they're going. Hey, protect yourself, protect your family. Do whatever you deem necessary. But there's a thing called freedom.
Yes.
You know? I like Reese's, you like Reese's. Boy, that's a great thing. I wouldn't dare force Reese's on you. Why would I force Reese's upon anybody when I can eat them myself?
Amen. Amen.
Doesn't make sense to me. Peanut butter and chocolate is a beautiful thing together.
Right.
That is truly manna from heaven, by the way. Yes, yes. Got them speaking in tongues. Let them use them, Lord. But we find here Elisha being God's man, loving his people to the point where he said, God, you got to get their attention. Lord God, they're starting to do things. Lord God, they're starting to turn to things that we never ever thought that they would turn. Lord God, please get their attention. And we see that Lord God had stopped the rain. A famine had come upon the land. And during that famine come upon the land, just like a famine we could say has come upon our land or whatever, and it has affected people, and people are now sick, and now they're hurting more than ever. Boy, let it be said, just like Elijah's time, there's still people willing to serve God, whether the odds are for them or whether the odds are against them. Hey, there's one church that's going to be a lighthouse to the community.
Yes.
There's one church, even though the world is hurting, hey, we opened up the hospital. Hey, this is the hospital, all sinners,
yes,
all those who are hurting. Hey, let me tell you about the greatest story that's ever been told. Hey, let me tell you about someone that has died for you. Let it be said that this church is always like we see Elijah here. 450 against one. Oh, he absolutely, by the way, Elijah could have walked away. Boy, he already has God. Boy, he already has God in his heart. Boy, we also see that he already has the power of God upon his life. But it's more than just about him, and it's more than just about you. We see Elijah caring for his nation, caring for his people. And now, all of a sudden, boy, he not only cares, but now it's time to put into action. We see Elijah here offering a challenge. Boy, if we are out west, it literally would be a western challenge. They would call it a duel. Boy, I could imagine the music would begin to play. I mean, boy, they would absolutely, boy, be there. Here's Elijah going up against 450 against one. Elijah being a man that always has been taught that ladies are first. We see him saying, hey, ladies first. Boy, the 450 step up to the altar. Boy, they step up to the altar. The challenge has been given. Boy, we find them praying, and we find them doing everything that they possibly can. The Bible said, boy, from the morning till noon, boy, we see them there praying and doing all these different things. And then, of course, we also find Elisha being there. And oh, at noontime, the Bible says that Elisha steps up, and he steps up with boldness. He said, hey, I'm not sure about you. He's like, but normally when I pray, my God answers my prayers. He's like, your God hasn't answered your prayers. He's like, is he asleep? Oh, is he on a journey? He's like, maybe you need to wake him. What in the world's going on? And we find them literally cutting themselves or whatever and doing doing whatever they can or think they can do to get their God's attention. But of course, we know their God is as holy as the boot that I'm wearing right now, the sole that I'm wearing. Those of you on the left side, I know you were, ooh. Those of you on the right side, ah. Boy, they were just as holy as that. You say, Brother Jackson, that's not very holy at all. Exactly. But we find all of a sudden the Bible says, then the evening time came. Now we find the man of God preparing the altar once again. It was ravished. Pieces everywhere. Boy, we find Elijah being a good soul-winning Baptist. Boy, a good soul-winning Baptist, whenever there's a crowd, hey, everybody gather around. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you about something that is absolutely exciting. Something that changed my life. Something that did something, boy, and they introduced him to someone that they already knew. We find in verse 31, it says, and Elijah took 12 stones. Why did he take 12 stones? This was a reminder of the covenant of God. This is a reminder of where you used to be, who you used to serve. We also find him not only doing that, but we find him in verse 34, and it says, and he did it a second time. You say, what in the world are you talking about? Here's Elijah. Now it's the evening time. By the way, the evening time is where the time where they always stopped everything and worshiped God. There was a reverence time. And now we see the man of God. It's his turn to get up. And now the man of God, boy, getting up. Not only getting up, he repaired the altar. He did all these different things. And boy, everything is exactly where it should be. Boy, there's no fire underneath it. The animal sacrifice is there. It's all cut up. Everything has been prepared. But we see Elisha saying, hey, is anybody using those four barrels over there? No, Elisha, I don't believe there no one's using it. Hey, let's take those four barrels and let's dump them on top of the altar. Oh, Elisha, I don't think you understand the contest here. We're supposed to call down fire, not put out fire. He said, I don't think you understand the God that I serve.
Amen.
Can you do me a favor? Let's go ahead and grab those. And boy, they grabbed those not once, not twice, but three times. Hey, can I tell you this from a worldly example? That's like, boy, someone bringing you hot buttermilk biscuits, and all of a sudden you think, whoo, boy, that's good enough by itself. Then all of a sudden they introduce you to this thing called melted butter.
Amen.
Woo, boy, they put it on there, boy, your mouth begins to slobber a little bit. And I said, hey, we're not done yet. All of a sudden, boy, they take something called bacon. Boy, bacon is good on absolutely everything. Well, I tell you what, boy, they take it and they introduce the biscuit to a thing called bacon. And all of a sudden, boy, you begin to woo, bounce a little bit. And then all of a sudden, they introduce something called eggs.
Yeah.
Boy, they introduce it to it. The pastor, once again, he's speaking in tongues all over the place here. But we find them putting this together, boy, and it just being delicious.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Boy, we find Elisha saying, boy, you don't know what's about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, we find more Elisha getting on his hands and knees, and we find him in verse 37 saying those words that we read, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know. By the way, he wasn't praying for himself.
That's right.
Lord God, allow me to be used. That Lord God, he went immediately to what he was praying for.
Yes, sir.
Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou will turn, that thou hast turned their back again. Boy, then all of a sudden, in verse 38, it says, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Can I tell you this? Oftentimes, I love history. Well, I love the idea that you guys have Gettysburg not too far away from
That's
here.
Right.
Boy, I said to Brother Juan, and actually Brother Josh, I was like, how far is Gettysburg away from here? And boy, and they told me, and I was like, ooh, ooh, ooh. I was like, man, I've never been. I've never been there. I know some of you are like, what the hell, you've never Hey, some of us have never been. Just like I will tell you, have you ever been to Charleston, South Carolina, where the first shots of the Civil War was?
Yes.
You'd be like, no, I've never been. And I'd be like, not everybody. All of a sudden, we find Elisha here. We find him at a very interesting spot. Just like in history, we find things very interesting. I love when somebody writes a book that was there. And boy, when they give you insight on what had happened during this war or during this battle. And boy, oftentimes you picture it. And not only picture it, but oftentimes I put myself in there. Boy, in World War II, boy, when those big, huge doors would open and all of a sudden those young men are running onto the shore, boy, trying to find safety, trying to find a place that they could hunker down in so they could fire back at the enemy. And all of a sudden, boy, they're taking, boy, shrapnel and they're taking all these different fire and the thoughts and stuff that could be going through their mind. By the way, we call them the greatest generation.
Right.
They were great because they went through a trial and they got stronger from it.
Amen.
Our problem today is we don't want to go through anything.
Yes, sir.
Moms, don't get mad at me, but sometimes the best thing for your child is for him to get a bloody nose.
Amen.
The reason why is he knows that he can get a bloody nose and he can still survive.
Amen.
It won't kill him.
That's right.
So, can you imagine? Me, when I read the Bible, more oftentimes I put myself in situations. Well, what would I have done with David versus Goliath? Well, how much taller was Goliath than David? Boy, I picture these things, and here I am once again, whatever, here. And boy, I could imagine if I was Elijah, boy, oh, I believe that God will answer prayer just like you would believe that God answers prayer. Boy, I would get down on my hands and knees, and boy, I would cry out to God just like Elijah cried out to God. Then all of a sudden, boy, while I'm praying to God, boy, it stopped. Can I tell you, I can imagine dust flying up in the air. Boy, everything's starting to settle back down. Boy, I imagine the people, not only were the people shocked, but can I give you a little bit inside my head? I would be like, then all of a sudden you would hear, "Woo! Yeah! Listen, my God just said, hey, you 450 mil, by the way, I'm going to deal with you here in a second. Look at that, tell you this. Look at my God. Hey, look at that, look at that. Hey, the moonwalk, that's when it would have been. Boy, I'd have been dancing all over the place. Boy, it would have been a fun and exciting time. Can I tell you this?
Yes, sir.
It's not what Elijah did. We didn't find Elijah rejoicing because there was still business that needed to be taken
yes.
care of. Boy, can I tell you this? Boy, I was working with the college, and when I was working with the college, we had to get up very early. College was like 45 minutes away from the church. And we had to get the college kids there, so we'd take vans and drop them off at the church. And in order for us to even leave the college, a lot of times it was, you know, 6 o'clock, so you had to get up at 5:30. Needs to say, I'm not a coffee drinker, but at this point in time, I love coffee.
Amen.
Man.
And here I am dropping them off, and the first thing that I'm screaming is, coffee, coffee, coffee. Boy, I go to the coffee shop, boy, and I went there to the coffee shop. Boy, there were some, quote-unquote, people studying their Bible, and you just know they're not our spec just by looking at them. And I walked in, and I was like, oh, boy, here we go. I just want coffee. And I ordered the coffee, and I sat down, and one of the men got up, and, boy, he sat down next to me, and I was like, Lord, I haven't had my coffee yet. And he was like, he said, sir, he's like, are you a preacher? Do you go to church? He's like, are you going to church? And I was like, how'd you guess? He was like, well, just by the way you dress. I was like, yes, sir. I was like, you know, how can I help you? He's like, oh, man, you know, I had a few questions and stuff for you. I was like, sir, I literally just came to get some coffee. He's like, oh, I understand that. He's like, I completely understand that. He's like, well, we're preachers here, and oftentimes we get together and we kind of, you know, give each other inspiration or whatever before we go right to the pulpit. And I was like, really? I was like, you guys are preachers? He's like, yeah, we're preachers. He's like, can't you tell? And I was like, I was like, how did you tell that I was a preacher? He was like, well, by the way you were dressed. I was like, look at the way you guys are dressed. Look like you're going to the beach to me. He was like, I was like, sir, once again, I just told you, I just came to get coffee. He was like, well, you can come to church however. I was like, yes, you can. I was like, well, let me ask you this. I'm like, the President of the United States would be like, hey, I want you to be my honored guest. I want you to come to the White House. I want to treat you like royalty. I was like, how would you dress? I was like, you would dress in your best. I was like, boy, if a certain tie is your best, boy, it'd be a certain tie. Boy, if you can get a suit, boy, you can get a suit. Boy, whatever it is, boy, you'd be dressed for success. I was like, that's why I dress the way I dress. Why do you guys dress down the way that you dress down? He's like, well, that doesn't bring spirituality. I was like, no, but it brings reverence. Yes. I was like, bless God, if flip-flops, shorts, or whatever. I was like, in a tank top is your best. I was like, come on, come in your best. I was like, but you know as well as I do, that is not your best. For some odd reason, he felt led to get up. But oftentimes, we forget who we're serving. Oftentimes, we look at that problem, we look at that situation, we look at that odds of how we're totally against everyone. Can I just tell you this? Scientists say, or science tells us, that we need at least four basic elements to survive. Science says that we need water, we need air, we need food, and we need light. But my Bible tells me something that supports this. My Bible says that Jesus is the living water. The Bible says that Jesus is the breath of life. The Bible also says that he's the bread of life. And he also is the light of this world. Boy, oftentimes, did I tell you this? I think we forget that God is the same today as he was yesterday. Oh, the same God that literally allowed fire to rain down is the same God that we serve today. Hey, I know you have problems. I know you have trials. I know you have everything. But oftentimes we forget how big our King really is. Hey, can I just take a minute or two and tell you who our King really is? Oh, not by my opinion, but what the Bible says. The Bible says that he's the King of Jews. The Bible says that he's also the King of righteousness. He's the King of ages. He's the King of heaven. He's the King of glory. The Bible says that he's the King of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. You can't dispute it. You can't argue it. The Bible says he spoke it, and whoa, it happened. Why? Because he's the man. Hey, if this was the 70s convention, they would say that's a bad mamma jamma right there. Why? Because he's God. Can I tell you this? No means of measure can define his unlimitless love. Hey, the Bible says that he is enduringly strong. He is eternally steadfast. His power is unlimitless. Hey, can I tell you this? Those of you who like comics and everything, Batman and Superman are a bunch of weirdos compared to my God. That's how powerful he is. Oh, the Bible says that he's God's son, but he's also the son of God. Oh, the Bible says that he's a savior to sinners. He's the centerpiece of civilization. You want to know why the United States has been prosperous the way that they had? Because God has always been the center of the United States. Hey, he was so much a sinner that we put it on our money.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Oh, his mercy endureth forever. He's unparalleled. He's unmatched. The Bible says that he's the champion of champions. He's proven it so many different times. Oh, but one more time, I'm here to tell you that he's the word. He's the truth. He's the light. He's the loftiest idea in literature. Oh, the Bible says that everything that he's done, every single book that we have here on earth couldn't contain everything that he's done. Hey, I met a young man, and boy, he was Muslim, and he began to tell me about Allah and what he believes Allah was. And boy, he went on for like 5 or 10 minutes. Boy, I sat there. Boy, just, I literally, Mom and Dad, you probably could associate with this. Boy, I literally sat there, and boy, he was going through everything. And boy, it literally was like when you're telling your son what to do, or whatever, for the church. And then eventually you're like, son, are you listening to me? Because you know he's there, but he's not there. Boy, he's everywhere else. Boy, he began to tell me about this, and began to tell me about that, began to tell me about this. And I was like, is there anything else you need to tell me? And boy, he went on for a few minutes. He's like, I think I did a good job. I was like, he's like, well, tell me about your God. I was like, well, that's the difference between my God and your God. I was like, I can't begin to describe and do justice to my God.
Amen.
I was like, how can you describe somebody that's the beginning and the end?
That's
right. Beginning? What was the end? What is the time period between that? I was like, the Bible not only says the beginning and the end. I was like, oh, the Bible says so many different things. And finally, when I was finished with them, once again, the theme is he walked away. I guess that means I win. The Bible says that he heals the sick. The Bible says that he cleanses the leper. He forgives the sinner. He cleanses the unrighteousness. Hey, the Bible says that you and I don't have to worry about hell. Why? Because he has conquered it. He has risen on the third day. Boy, he has spread his blood in there in heaven that covers our sin. Boy, only thing we have to do is accept that gift. Hey, let me ask you this. Have you accepted that gift of eternal life? If you are, that means I can call you brother. You can call me sister. Oh, no. Did I tell you he's a God of forgiveness?
Yes, sir.
Sister, I can call you sister, and you can call me brother.
There you go. Got it right.
Hallelujah. You ever had those moments where you wish you could take back? Those things that can literally haunt you for a while. I can see Pastor, hey, sister. Like, shut up. Like, Pastor, come on. Can I tell you this? He's the key of knowledge.
Amen.
He's also the key of truth.
Yes.
Hey, he heals the sick.
Yes.
Oh, the Bible calls him the great physician. Amen. Oh, he's the highest of high. He's the doorway of diligence. He's the gateway of glory. He's the pathway of peace. Hey, can I tell you this? His promise is sure. Oh, can I tell you this? His promise is sure. Can I tell you this? His promise is sure. Hey, can I tell you also tell you this? Death makes us selfish. Death just makes us think about ourselves. But because of our God, we are not saying goodbye. We are simply saying, until next time, my friend.
Yes.
See you later, my friend. Hey, can I tell you this? I got friends. I got people there in glory. I got one friend that I grew up with. Oh, people say, do you miss him? Absolutely. But I know without a shadow of a doubt, he's in heaven.
Yes.
And not only is he in heaven, but he's probably figuring out some ways to pull a prank on me when I come to heaven in my mansion, because that's the type of individual he is. But thank God for glory.
Yes.
Thank God that we'd be able to be with him.
Yes,
oh, his grace is efficient.
Amen.
Oh, can you tell me how God can hear every single one of our prayers at the same time and answer them? That's the God of Elisha.
Amen.
That God is still on the throne.
Yes, he is.
That God still cares about you and me. Can I tell you this? The heavens of heaven cannot contain his power. Not only that, yet alone a man explain him. You can't get him out of your mind, and his divine love always comes on time. Can I tell you this? You can't live without him, or you can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. There was nobody before him, and there'd be nobody after him. Hey, you can't impeach him, and he'll never resign.
Amen.
That's our God.
Yes.
The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 20, or in verse 13, it says, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created."
Yes, sir.
God loves us so much, he wouldn't dare allow us to go through this world alone.
Yes.
Even when we're outnumbered, even when we're seeing that it's against all odds, the Almighty steps in. And the scale, even though it seemed like all of a sudden we were outnumbered and boy, we were there and we didn't know what to do, then God steps in.
Yes, sir.
To where only he can get the glory. There's still hope for America. Right. There's still hope for you and for me. Hey, grandparents, there's still hope for that little one that just came into the earth. Boy, there's still hope for them. Boy, they can still grow up and be something great for God. They can still grow up in a great place called the United States of America. Amen. But we got to get to work. We got work to do. We got to get there. Let me ask you this again. Are you surrendered?
Amen. It's good.
Well, we see here real quick in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 15. Boy, before anything had happened, we see Elijah here in verse 13. Excuse me. It says, Elijah said, "As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely shew myself unto him today." Lord God, I just want to be found faithful. Lord God, I want to serve you. Lord God, it's one thing for men to be proud of me, but Lord God, if you're proud of me, that's all that counts.
Yes.
Lord God, I want to be found faithful. Hey, this morning, did you read your Bible? Did you search after him? Hey, do you want to be found faithful or not? Hey, we got work to do. Hey, you say, "Brother Jackson, I haven't read my Bible this morning." Hey, this afternoon, get alone with God. Hey, God has something for you. Oftentimes, like I told you before, it's not God who doesn't show up, it's us. Oh, I wonder how many times. Oh, I can't tell you how many times I've talked to pastors. They said, boy, they had something for this individual church member. They had asked them a question. They were going through a problem, and God had literally gave them something in the lesson. They were so excited. Boy, they were tickled to death, and all of a sudden they showed up, and they went to the pulpit, and that person wasn't there. Broke their heart. God loves you. God cares for you. Boy, how can we not serve a God that loves us as much as our God loves us? Boy, how can we not be surrendered to him? He was surrendered to us. Boy, you talk to anybody in the military, boy, a lot of them will tell you some of the PTS and some of the D and some of the stuff that they go through. It's because why did that other guy give his life? Show my appreciation to him. There's no way I can say thank you. Only thing I can do is wish that maybe it was I that would have given my life for him. But yet we have a Savior that gave up everything for us.
Yes, sir. That's
right. Yes,
sir.
Even to the point where God himself turned his back to Jesus. But he loved you and he loved me so much. Well, you want to know how I show my appreciation? I serve him.
That's good.
Lord God, I just want to be found faithful.
Yes,
Lord
sir.
God, if it's me just waking up praising you, Lord God, I want to praise you. When's the last time you praised God? When's the last time you just thank him for being God? Well, you walk outside, you're like, "Lord God, I thank you that it's not raining today. Lord God, I thank you that it's not 100 degrees today.
Amen.
Lord God, I thank you that it's not 100% humidity today.
Hey,
can I tell you this? This is what I think coming from Florida. Can I tell you that? It's like, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be here in West Virginia.
Amen.
Boy, not only that, boy, I want to keep showing my appreciation. Going back to the parents. Dad. I imagine if you're smart, you will show, you would want to be found faithful in the task that you have to your wife. Boy, not only do you want to be faithful with the honey-do list, that's what you tell me. But even a point in time where, man, you want a little bit of bonus thing, you walk by and you're like, honey, you look beautiful today. Now, oftentimes you'd be like, what do you want? Or, what did you break?
Careful now.
But you show that appreciation.
Yes, sir.
Oftentimes, you would try to go even above and beyond that. Oftentimes, you will pay money for flowers, and you'll have those flowers maybe delivered to her at work. For all our friends, you'd be like, ooh, you got you flowers. And she's just like, my man. That's the same way I want to serve God.
Yes, sir.
Lord God, I do love you. Lord God, I love you enough that, boy, I want to get into your word.
Yes.
I want to hear from you today. Hey, by the way, they call this a love letter.
Amen.
Boy, it's a manual for life. It tells us how to enjoy things the right way.
Yes.
It tells us that, man, we can have fun and we can serve God the same way. And, boy, I get in that. And then, Lord God, whew, boy, that was awesome meeting with you this morning. But, Lord God, if you don't mind, can I just walk and talk with you throughout the day? Lord God, can I just serve you? Lord God, while I'm serving you, Lord God, I want to show my appreciation. If there's anybody else, do you think that I could help by telling them about you? Lord God, I want to do the same thing. Lord God, I want to tell them about my church. Why? Because my church is the lighthouse.
Amen.
My church could help people. Boy, me and Josh, we were on a venture yesterday trying to find a suit for me.
Good luck.
By the way, me and the man who made suits, we're going to talk.
Man, yes, sir.
Well, if he's there in heaven. But can I tell you this? There's nothing more crazy than going through, and you may find a suit jacket, but they come up with this system. Well, if your chest is this big, then your waist will be this big.
They're confused.
Who came up with these measurements? I'll get that. I'll get something that fits up top, and well, I'll go to try on the pants, and literally I'm hula hooping for the pants. But my Bible says that one day God is going to make all things. Boy, we were out searching for a suit. Boy, we were searching for a suit. We came to one lady. She was hurting. Boy, and we kept saying to her, just give us a chance. What were we saying? Just give God a chance. Give God a chance. She's like, I don't know. She kept saying, I don't know. She kept telling her about her problem. Why? Because her problem was so big to her. And basically we were saying, you have a God that's bigger.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You have a God that can do all things.
Yes, sir.
You have a God that can overcome any situation. Just give him a chance. Can I tell you this? I'm not sure what problems you're going through. I'm not sure what situation you're going through, but can I tell you this? You have a mighty big God that loves you. You said, Brother Jackson, you keep talking about this God, and Brother Jackson, see, everybody's excited, but I don't know that God Like they know that God. Hey, can I tell you this? Boy, the same way that someone did to me, boy, they simply took me to the Bible and they showed me how much that God loved me. And boy, the price that he had paid for my sins. And boy, they offered me the same way that man has done for hundreds and hundreds of years. Boy, I accepted him as my Lord and Savior. Yeah. Hey, can I tell you this? It was to the point, boy, when we were finished, boy, not only was I happy, but everybody else in the church was happy. Why? Because how big our God is. Do you know him? Oh, can you call him Savior? Or are you surrendered to him? Hey, what is it in your life the Holy Spirit's speaking to you about that you need to give up? Oftentimes I'll speak to people and they're like, well, Brother Jackson, I surrendered. You know, 1962. Boy, right there on the altar, boy, I gave it all and I haven't looked back ever since. Tell me your secrets. Surrender is a daily thing. One of those ones that we call the 12 disciples that walk with them and talk with them said that I die daily. It's not what I want to do, it's what he wants to do. It's not what you want to do, it's what she wants to do. Honey, where do you want to go out to eat?
I don't know.
You choose. All right. Well, hey, what about chicken?
I don't want chicken.
What about that?
I don't want that. Well,
honey.
Preach it.
In this area. Definitely going to need Jesus. By the way, isn't it great that we can laugh together? Because there's so many people, probably with even a very short range around us, feel like they have no hope today.
Yes, sir.
That's why I'm surrendered. Because I want to help them. Let me tell you the greatest news someone ever told me. But I hope this makes sense to you. I know it's not a 1, 2, 3. But lately, God's just been telling me to keep it simple, stupid.
Amen.
Put them on the bottom left, on the bottom shelf, where everybody can reach it. It's like that silly example that I gave you before. It's like Pieces. It's like Reese's. That peanut butter. And that chocolate. The way that commercial says, there's no wrong way to eat a Reese's.
Amen.
There's many ways to serve him.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Let's just be found faithful doing it.
Amen.
In a second here, I'm going to totally turn the invitation over to Pastor. Because you know him. Because you know that he cares. Because you know that oftentimes he has a pulse of where the church is. So what better person that if you need to do business with, that you can get with. Some of you, sometimes we just need prayer. Well, I'll make myself available to pray for anybody. You say, well, you just think you're the Pope or something? No. Most evangelists, most people have prayer cards. Why? Because there's something about someone praying for you.
Amen.
Will you just pray for me? Will you just pray for me? Sometimes it's for safety. Sometimes I get a text message praying for you. And literally I'm going through a serious battle, spiritual battle. If you need prayer, I'll pray with you. Lord, Pastor, we'll pray. Don't let your pride keep you from rejoicing in life and getting victory in life. Just like you, if you need help, don't let your pride keep you from going to mom and dad. That's what they're there for. They love you. Just imagine how much a mom's love is and a dad's love for you. Imagine how much more God's love is for you. For me. He's just saying, just come forward. Commit. Bring that trial. Bring that decision to me. Let me take your yoke. Put it on me, because it's easy. It's good. And let me give you rest. Let me give you peace. How can you explain some people that go through the biggest trials and it seems like they do it with so much grace? And it seems like, yes, it weighs them down, but just like we were talking about in Sunday school, there's other people that are watching you. And they're like, brother, how in the world did you seem like you were at peace with what was going on? Seemed like you couldn't be shaken, because it's not me. It's God.
Amen.
Who comfort me. The Bible says he never leave us nor forsake us. Oh, our head bowed and eyes closed. Oftentimes, it's not God who changes. He's still the same as he's always been. It's us. Oh, some maybe there's someone within the sound of my voice. You say, Brother Jackson, I have been the one that's changed the Lord. Brother Jackson, I want to come back to the Lord. You say, Brother Jackson, I've been the one that that doesn't know the Lord God as Savior. But boy, I sure do want to come to him today so that I can get that thing guaranteed, narrowed down. You say, Brother Jackson, I've been in the church for a long time. You say, Brother Jackson, I've been there almost as long as pastor's been here. If I go forward, it's going to be embarrassing. Oh, can I tell you this? The church will rejoice like at no other time. Why? Because there's that guarantee. And our Lord, and our God, and our Savior, Pastor, is going to come down with the invitation. Oh, I challenge you. Oh, if this were we were little kids, I would say I'd double dog dare you to search your heart and to respond the way that God would have you respond.